Just be unique. Thank you for listening to Be Unique Magazine, issue 17. I'm your host, Franklin, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing what our writers from around the world have to say. Now, this issue is filled with positivity through the pandemic, and wait a minute, slow down, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're excited. Just wait, be patient. We'll start in a few minutes. Just relax, chill. Okay, phew. Oh my goodness, let's get things back into order. Now you see people go crazy when our volunteers put out a magazine. They just can't wait to get the opportunity to read the articles in the magazine, especially this issue 17. Okay, let's get started. We are Be Unique with an all-embracing heart and are always learning to create new things and to revitalize and sustain old things. While recognizing our differences, we use positive universal thinking to strategize for a positive outcome. We collaborate with people of all distinctions to create a better me, a better you, and a better us. By caring for others, there is no room in our hearts for hatred, racism, jealousy, or egotism. There is no knowledge higher than love. There is no treasure more valuable than love. So, let our visions heal and keep the promises of what we will be one day. By living helpful, caring, happy, and healthy and essential lives. So, follow us at beunique.org. That's B. UNEKE.org. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you may now begin. Just be unique.
Designer brings people together with a simple solution by Sherry Sather. Humans have made a lot of plastic, and that's a big problem now. One young man has taken action on this enormous worldwide plastic pollution crisis. Dave Hackens, a Dutch designer, recognized the production and use of single-use plastic had surpassed the speed in which recycling centers could manage and transform the tremendous amount of plastics being used throughout the world. This resulted in illegal dumping, polluted rivers and oceans, toxic burning of trash, and plastics making their way into our food chain. Dave presented his first precious plastic invention as his graduation project at the Design Academy in Eindhoven in 2013. His simple device could turn used plastics into precious commodities. His machine inspired a ripple effect that turned into a movement. Dave believes that design and creativity can address complex problems. To start up an idea is a powerful tool to use these days. A designer is able to bring people together by just sharing an idea or a potential solution. 7 years later, Dave's precious plastic work has turned into a global network with four innovative machines. Skilled designers, engineers, and developers from around the world volunteered to develop an alternative plastic recycling system of four basic machines that can be run by everyday people. Together, they created free blueprints, collecting and plastic sorting guides, and directions on building and using machines that can shred, melt, and mold plastics into products anywhere in the world. The international pilot project was established in Kisii, Kenya. In partnership with the United Nations, the team worked for 2 weeks to turn an old chicken shed into a workshop for the recycling machinery. The project successfully created a self-sufficient plastic recycling workspace that cleaned up the environment and created local employment. Precious Plastic Kesey continues to be a leading model, and manager Alicia Mora believes it's the small change you make that matters. Today, you can find precious plastic projects in every country. There are four basic machines: shredder, injection, compression, and extrusion. These technologies and materials can be reproduced and repaired by people with basic metal and building skills. The shredder machine is essential because it cuts plastic into small flakes, which are then extruded into a line of plastic or heated in the compression oven and slowly pressed into a mold to create chairs, stools, shelves, coasters, surfboards. Some have even developed bricks, beams, and tiles to create buildings. Precious Plastics has become a strong global movement. Dave believes the movement has become so strong from the 80,000 people all sharing the same passion and vision for a world with less plastic waste. More than 1,000 people are working with precious plastic machines around the world. Dave's work has been honored by the Eco Coin Awards, and he believes that small steps multiplied by millions have the ability to win the battle on plastic pollution. Anyone can join the Precious Plastic universe. Learn more at preciousplastic.com.
One thing I do know, Earth loves garden designs.
Residents of the new Open Arms Assisted Living Facility in the Montbello neighborhood in Denver, Colorado, will be enjoying the bounty of the new garden beds created by Earth Love Gardens. The Assisted Living Facility is geared toward nurturing the mind, body, and spirit of future residents, and the garden beds will play an important role in realizing this vision. Gardening provides many benefits for the health and wellness of individuals, many of those specific to seniors. A University of Colorado Boulder study shows that touching soil increases the release of mood-boosting serotonin receptors in the brain and lowers anxiety. Gardening lowers Alzheimer's and dementia risk, improves immune regulation, and even increases longevity, studies show. Additionally, it has been found that interaction with nature lowers blood pressure, decreases hospital visits, decreases recovery time from surgery, and generally promotes feelings of rejuvenation and renewal. Tasked in creating the garden beds, Earth Love Gardens designed the beds specifically for the residents. Many of those gardening will be in wheelchairs and walkers, and the height and spacing of the garden beds were designed for utmost accessibility and function. At more than 1,000 square feet, the garden area will provide an abundance of room for mobility and growing space. The garden beds will also serve the larger Montbello community. In the future, students of local schools will be able to assist in the garden, experiencing intergenerational interaction with the seniors. These garden beds will serve as an inspiration for future projects. Earth Love Gardens creates garden beds, greenhouses, as well as pollinator and edible landscape designs for everything from family homes and businesses to community projects. Based in Boulder, Colorado, they also consult and travel nationwide to make visionary projects a reality. Their mission is to allow everyone to authentically connect and appreciate the earth, and in turn, feel connection within themselves and with each other. With these garden beds, they are doing just that. For more information about Earth Love Gardens, visit www.earthlovegardens.com.
There's much more to BeUnique.org than our audio magazine. The printed copies are like works of art. The digital magazine is your interactive magazine. Just click image and start learning. You'll be amazed and entertained. Just be unique.
What will you do to change your plastic consumption habits? By Rena. Habits are powerful tools to simplify our daily lives. You might start your day with a cup of coffee without thinking about it, or taking the same way to work every day as an unconscious routine. Maybe you choose to eat the same ice cream whenever you can't decide. Routines are something we've tried that worked well for us. There are so many things to worry about that we are happy about everything that works on its own. Some habits, however, could be worth reconsidering. It takes 30 days to implement a new habit, which is the underlying notion of the Plastic Free July idea that grew into a movement and has inspired more than 250 million participants in 177 countries. If everyone makes the tiniest change, it will collectively make a massive difference worldwide. With plenty of ideas how to reduce, refuse, and recycle single-use plastics, and strengthen our awareness for 1 month, we can find great alternatives that can become new habits forever. In Korea, Waste Up So, a zero-waste shop and support community for zero-waste living, encouraged people to participate in a bingo challenge. This grid has 24 easy and fun ideas to help make better choices for a more sustainable life. People are encouraged to bring their own reusable shopping bags, water bottles, napkins, takeout containers or straws. As food packaging is a major culprit in our production of plastic waste, try to shop for groceries at a local market and cook a package-free meal. Reducing processed food and animal products will diminish the ecological footprint of our diet. How about eating a plant-based meal, choosing a vegan meal option, or trying a meatless Monday? Where can you switch for more sustainable options in your household? Did you ever try to use a soap or shampoo bar? A bamboo toothbrush and dental care tabs instead of toothpaste? Soap nuts for your laundry? A wooden dish brush? There are many alternatives to plastic items. Get creative. Maybe you find something for upcycling, like knotting a tote bag from an old t-shirt. Can you find a recycling center for paper, glass, metal or plastics in your community? Would you like to start composting in your backyard? Do you have the chance to walk instead of driving? It will take longer, might be a little inconvenient, but there are so many things to explore around us. Let's open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds. Our technology consumption has a huge impact on our environment, our health and our communities. While the increased global connectedness has tremendous advantages, like me writing this in South Korea so you can read it wherever you are, it won't harm to take a break from technology once in a while. What if you do not use headphones for a day, but listen to the sounds of your neighborhood? Do you hear the birds singing, the wind in a tree's canopy, your neighbor on the phone? Being aware of your environment can enrich our lives in ways beyond imagination. Be sure to read BeUnique's extra blog for more inspiration and ideas so you can be part of the solution.
A Shift, a poem by Anna East. I noticed it. It was small, but it was a revelation. It was a shift. This other person I was looking for, to love, be loved by, to be with, and to hold, would never be a love as great as the one I will have for myself. Then the idea dissipated, just a fleeting thought. But in that split second, the search became null. The shift. It was so subtle, so quiet. I've been given a new life. And it's time to fall in love with me.
This is Jeannie Cole, reading my article for BeUnique magazine called Breathe Deep, Calm Down. Take a deep breath and relax. How many times have you heard that in your life? Well, if you've actually tried it, you know it works. It really calms you down. Breath work has been at the center of so many modalities of mind-body medicine, yoga, meditation, spiritual work, pain management, hypnosis, behavioral therapies, and even childbirth techniques for thousands of years. But how does it really work? Breathing consists of inhaling and exhaling. When we inhale, we bring in oxygen and many other chemicals. When we breathe out, we exhale carbon dioxide and other junk our body needs to get rid of. The respiratory system brings in oxygen, a fuel needed by every cell in our bodies. Yes, all 30 to 40 trillion of them. One little breath has to supply oxygen to that many cells. This includes brain cells, which need increased oxygen to think clearly, focus, problem solve, be creative, and ensure clear communication. If there isn't enough oxygen in the system, the cells slow down and revert back to low-level thinking, the opposite of what most of us want. Exhaling is an elimination process. We eliminate carbon dioxide as the major gas, along with water vapor. It's not unlike sweating, urinating, and defecating. It helps the body get rid of the chemical breakdown of its waste products. On average, a healthy adult completes about 16 cycles of inhalations and exhalations per minute. That's about 960 per hour, or 23,040 per day, every day of your life. The respiratory system is controlled by the autonomic nervous system as a rhythmic act produced by the vagus nerve, the diaphragm, and networks of neurons in the base of the brain, the part closest to your neck. This is why a broken neck can cause death. It affects your ability to breathe independently. Imagine how long you would stay alive if you had to consciously inhale and exhale 23,040 times each day. Emotions like anxiety, fear, worry, and anger all send messages to the autonomic nervous system telling it to speed up or slow down the breath to supply oxygen needed for the situation at hand. In fact, they affect more than 1,400 chemicals and hormones in the body with this message. This creates the fight or flight response, even if we don't actually need to run or defend ourselves. Consciously slowing our breath sends a signal to the entire body that things are okay, we are safe, and we just need to calm down. Once we calm our breathing, the cascade of chemicals and hormones shift, and we can think clearer and return to a high-level brain functions, all within a breath. Now, if consciously shifting to taking a calming breath during an emotional crisis works to calm and restore higher level brain functions, just think what it can do if you practice purposeful breathing techniques daily and give your body the gift of this tremendous power.
Positive. Moments and be amazed. The big creative challenge. Be positive, be in the moment, and be amazed. 2020 Be Creative Challenge is a way for Be Unique to help creative people focus on positive aspects of life. We will award cash prizes and other awards to those who highlight positivity through art, digital media, writing, and much more. Visit BeUnique.org and open the magazine just by clicking and learning to get more information. Now that's being unique.
Hi, this is Steven, reading for Be Unique magazine. Ability to handle crisis is a big component in success, by Stephen Caleb Opumi. In Apaso, Ashanti Region, Ghana, Liliban has been selling made-to-order pies and children's clothing crafted from local fabrics. The proceeds go to salary payments of her teachers who try to stay in touch with their students through WhatsApp group pages since COVID-19 has forced school closures. Lily said, "The ability to handle crisis is a big component in our success story." She started Bam Memorial Community School in 2005 with 6 nursery students. She struggled to keep the school open and affordable, accepting farm produce to be used in the school's canteen as in-kind payment from some parents, and starting a cleaning agency to support the school. After about a year, she realized she needed to devote all her energy to Bam Memorial. Her enrollment grew as parents saw that her students were performing better overall than those in other schools. At one point, she moved her family out of her house and squeezed into her mother's house, converting the vacated rooms into classrooms. In 2009, Bam Memorial joined the IDP Rising Schools program, a partnership between Chicago-based IDP Foundation and a Ghanaian financial institution, Sinapia Bus Savings and Loans. The program provides below-market rate loans to more than 650 low-fee private schools in Ghana and administers financial literacy and school management training. For many poor and vulnerable children, low-fee private schools are their best and sometimes only option for education. Government-run schools are too far away, less rigorous, or have bigger classes and more teacher absenteeism. With loans from IDP program, Lily built additional classrooms, added grade levels, and bought a school bus, enabling her to serve more children who might otherwise go uneducated. But a punishing road network, high driver attrition, and a mounting repair and maintenance bills combined to plunge her school into crisis. Taking matters into her own hands, she drove the bus herself and began directly overseeing all aspects of its operation and maintenance. Lily's ability to overcome challenges, continually improve her school, and expand its capacity has made her a hero in her community. Bam Memorial's enrollment grew from 195 students in 2010 to 566 in 2019. When the coronavirus pandemic forced its closure in March, the school had 584 students in nursery through junior high. Schools like Bam Memorial are challenged in the best of times, reliant on tuition fees and lacking support from governments and the international development community. They are particularly vulnerable to disruptions. Many will struggle to reopen when it's safe for students to gather again. But what they might lack in institutional support, their proprietors make up for in pluck and resourcefulness. They are social entrepreneurs who are eager to give back to their communities. "I want to impact the community and bring change," said Lily. Bringing a change, you start from educating the person. That is my calling. For Be Unique magazine, this is Stephen Caleb Opumi. Thanks for listening.
Be Unique Radio is currently heard in 39 countries, with most of its listeners in the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Germany, and France. We would love to know where you listen to Be Unique.
Hello, this is Maren Favai, reading for Be Unique magazine. These lions are found in two places in the world. By Marion Favai. In Shasha sector of Queen Elizabeth National Park, in southwest Uganda, is home to 24 tree-climbing lions, one of the two places they can be found in the world. After 3 weeks of searching, Chris de Bref was getting desperate. Normally, she would locate the lions within days. Lockdown had kept everyone confined to walking. No one enters a safari park on foot. 3 months into lockdown, Chris was allowed to jump in her Land Cruiser and set off to try and locate the lions. Why was she so alarmed? In 2018, just after National Geographic Wild Special had been filming the lions, 11 of them were poisoned by a local villager who had recently lost a cow to a lion. One cow can be a villager's whole livelihood. Before COVID, Uganda, also called the Pearl of Africa, received an increasing number of visitors each year. The tourism industry was becoming an important contributor to the economy. COVID brought a whole new dimension. In many parts of Africa, the halt to tourism has been an enormous blow. Be it tour guide, cleaner, or simply providing eggs to the lodges, the income of villagers around the lodges has decreased dramatically. Add into the scenario the fact that family members from cities have also lost their jobs or businesses and are returning to the villages, and you have a major food shortage on your hands. As the local people in Shasha are traditionally hunters, poaching has increased. Therefore, Chris was worried when she couldn't locate the lions. After the episode with the 11 lions, Chris worked with colleagues to collar some of the lions so they could monitor their whereabouts and relocate them away from human habitation if needed. She therefore called on friends to see if they could use the collar tracking device to find them now. A lion expert and a vet joined the search and found Jacob, a young collared male lion, with his leg in a snare. Records show that Jacob was caught in a trap once already in his young life. Now his leg was badly crushed and had to be amputated. Chris joined the rangers the next day when they fed it. Chris said, "I felt so frustrated at the situation and seeing the poor lion in such pain. There is so much needed and so little you can do." Only one other lion with an amputated leg has survived in another park. There is a need for a sanctuary where animals that have suffered from wildlife crime can be cared for and rehabilitated before they are released back into the wild. Where a baby elephant that has lost its mother can be nurtured until it's strong enough. Where a poached chimpanzee can recover from the trauma of being trafficked inside a suitcase. The team do their best, but the big question with Jacob is whether he will survive. Read Be Unique's extra blog to learn Jacob's fate and discover Chris's vision for Uganda's wildlife and the people who live in the communities of Nshasha. For Be Unique magazine, this is Marion Frame.
BeUnique.org is a 501c3 charity, and we rely on sponsorships, donors, and grants to continue bringing you the elevated content you've come to expect from us. We appreciate our supporters.
Let's go on safari. Lions and leopards and rhinos. Oh my. 10-year-old Kate Gilman Williams wants it to stay that way. She once played Dorothy in a full production of The Wizard of Oz, and if she could ask the wizard for anything, it would be to help the African animals survive. She is not new to going on safari. She has been to Africa 3 times and plans to go back again. Kate is dedicated to helping the African animals. Let's Go on Safari, a juvenile nonfiction book, copyright 2019, is about African animals, environmental conservation, and activism. It is a glossy 8.5 by 11 book featuring photos of Kate Gilman Williams and Michelle Campbell on safari. Michelle is a professional wildlife guide. They wrote the book together because Kate wanted to do something to help the animals of Africa. The book's intention is to help the younger generation advocate for endangered animals. Kate says, "If my generation does not learn to advocate for endangered animals, some species will go extinct in our lifetime." Kate has traveled coast to coast, sharing her motto with kids that advocacy has no age limit. Some of the animals that are highlighted in the book are pangolins, rhinoceros, hippopotamus, elephants, leopards, and lions. In the book, Kate states, 55 elephants die every day from poaching. 100% of the sales of the book go to international organizations who work to protect animals, fight poaching, and promote youth activism. Global Wildlife Conservation, headquartered in Austin, Texas, the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, Kenya, East Africa, and the Jane Goodall Institute, Vienna, Virginia, have received donations from sales of Let's Go on Safari. Each received $4,000. Yes, Kate gained $12,000 in book sales. Kate's website is www.kidscansaveanimals.com and her Instagram is kidscansaveanimals. Her book did catch the attention of actress Deborah Messing. Kate did go to Hollywood to visit Deborah on the set of Will and Grace. There is an endorsement on the cover of Kate's book from Deborah, who is also an animal advocate. Kate was also on the TV morning talk show Live with Kelly and Ryan. Ryan Seacrest helped Kate find a publisher. Kate's book is published by Crick Hollow Books and Penguin Random House in South Africa. After the fires in Australia, Kate started Quarters for Koalas. In 1 week, students at Trinity Episcopal School raised $4,671.40. Quarters for Koalas has support from Deborah Messing. The money raised was donated to the Adeline Koala Rescue Center, www.akr.org.au. Kate wants everyone to know that Rangers are heroes in Africa. These men and women risk their lives every single day, finding poachers and removing snares. They work 24-hour shifts in the dead of the night, protecting wildlife and wild spaces. They are trained, they use advanced technology, and have to stay one step ahead of poaching, which is the most organized crime ring in the world.
Now that's being unique.
This is Donnie Crawford for Be Unique Magazine, connecting the dots with Be Unique Productions. I have worked on some remarkable projects as a result of dots connected through Be Unique Productions. One of the first events BeUnique.org sponsored was the 2019 Be the Change Awards, where hundreds of separate nonprofits nominated one volunteer for their work. Of the 10 winners, one was from Newfoundland, Canada, and 9 were from Florida. It was at that event where I met Donna, Susanna, and Robin with Hidden Acres Rescue for Thoroughbreds and became intrigued with the work that they were doing. I wanted to become involved and assist in creating public awareness for retired racehorses. I thought that a documentary about horse rescue could help in this effort. Other members of the production team joined me to meet with members of Hidden Acres to discuss filming. Through our fact-finding efforts, we also learned about the organization Walk on Water and had the opportunity to interview Patty and her staff to talk about the work that they do, including a focus on equine therapy. Be Unique's production team also covers events for other organizations. A few of these include Nubability's Spring Training in Fort Myers, Authors for Authors Writers Conference in Melbourne, and film festivals in St. Augustine and Jacksonville. The team has also had a presence in many festivals and gatherings in the Orlando area and have produced content for the Florida Steppers International Extravaganza, Women of Worth Conference, fashion events, and the Global Peace Film Festival, where we met Elizabeth Fullington, who had this to say. I bumped into a filmmaker named Jennifer East at the premiere of a short documentary called Migration Story that told how I migrated from Ghana to the USA. This was sponsored by the City of Orlando Fusion Fest and featured at the Peace Film Festival. Jennifer introduced me to Mary Brotherton, who arranged for an interview on Be Unique Radio. I had the most wonderful and fun podcast with Mary and her co-host, Jean Albertson. These events all led to the creation of the Ruby Holland Foundation's first documentary. I never realized the depth and scope of all that it takes in the production of a film like this. Jennifer's gentle prods made me pause and reflect on the journey. I am grateful for the support, love, and care of her amazing production team. Lynn Dilks, Donnie Crawford, Franklin Prather, and Trilby Saldana are true professionals, and I am so grateful for the work that they put into the creation of this film. This isn't the first time Be Unique was in the right place at the right time. Invited to speak with Sita Bagui on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our founders Jennifer and Mary met Marion Ambrose and Sue Fallon from Green Gables at the historic Riverview Village. The dots connected quickly. We realized Be Unique Productions needed an extraordinary plan to help. The result was Forgotten Chantress, a documentary that takes viewers inside the historic home of William and Nora Wells for a glimpse into the past and provides a vision into future capabilities of the property. The film was used to help generate awareness and matching funds for Green Gables' grant application, which assists in the purchase of the property and preserve it for generations to come. More than a dozen Be Unique volunteers drove from all over the state to participate in the creation and promotion of the film. While filming Forgotten Chantress, Be Unique met Joe McNeil and Charles Jackson, who had volunteered to be in the film. Joe and Charles also volunteered with the Greater Allen Development Corporation, and as the dots continued to connect, Joe asked us to create a documentary about the relocation of the first house of worship, built by freedmen in the area that would later become Melbourne, Florida. The documentary of the Founders Museum will cover moving the historic building to its new location and include historical information and memories from some of the area's older residents. If you know about an organization that could benefit from a Be Unique Productions documentary, reach out through our website, beunique.org, or email mary@beunique.org. For Be Unique Magazine, I'm Donnie Crawford. Thank you for listening.
In addition to the magazine and film production, beunique.org also produces a live radio show with something happening every weekday. Check out the website for more details.
What is Sustainability on the Go? By Sustainability on the Go team, we are Isabel Dias, Joana Souza, Nuno Rodrigo, and Maria Joana Becerra. Before anything else, who are we? We are a group of students from Nova Information Management School, IMS, in Portugal, and for our Information Index Contemporary Society class, we were asked to develop a website about something of our interest. We thought, what's more interesting than our future?
Every day, people talk about the importance of having a sustainable lifestyle. However, this concept is rarely explained. You may think that you need to buy a super expensive toothbrush and move to a hut in the middle of the Himalayas, living solely from what Earth provides, in order to have a sustainable life. Maybe you lack the courage to change your daily habits. Probably you already recycle, but there is so much more to sustainability than just recycling.
We get you. Many of us are afraid of change. Changing homes, jobs, or habits that are so comfortable and make us feel safe is hard. But if we don't change our habits, Earth will change them for us. There will be more tornadoes and wildfires, weather will be harder to predict, many species will go extinct, and the Earth in which we live today and love won't be the same. Actually, nowadays we can already feel some consequences of global warming, and we know, with time, they'll only get more complicated.
It's still possible to reverse this process. If each one of us contributes just a little bit for a more sustainable life, we can at least soften the effects of this crisis.
But what can one person do alone? If everyone has this mentality, it is indeed impossible to change. But the change in some people inspires a change in others.
To make the change easier and guide you through it, we create a website where we post about the diversity of sustainability and how we can contribute to a sustainable world. We strive for our articles to be informative, helpful, and hopefully they will make you reflect about your behavior and daily habit. Our website is organized according to the Sustainable Development Goals established by the UN. We separate the goals into three main pillars of sustainability: environment, society, and economy. This way, it is easier for you to choose the tips you want to try according to your interests. Would you like to help guarantee that everyone gets access to quality education? Then you can visit our category about education. Our goal is to make everything more simple, dynamic, and appealing for everyone who wants to make a difference.
Now that you have access to the what's and how's of sustainability, you have everything you need to make the world a better place. www.sustainabilityonthego.wordpress.com will have regular updates, and you can also follow our Twitter and Instagram, where we will publish and announce our new article. Make sustainability your ability.
Hey, did you know that everyone at Be Unique is a volunteer? That's right. Not one of us is paid for our work. Why do we work for free? Because we believe that by working today, we can change tomorrow.
Welcome to Ani's Attic. Here's one glimpse into a favorite memory of mine from, probably almost 28 years ago. My daughter asks, "So what do you want Lindsay to call you when she starts talking?" Lindsay was to be my first grandchild about to be born, and Sandy was wondering what my choice of name would be. After all, I was setting in stone how I would be known to my future grandchildren. I had pondered this for a while. I didn't personally think the traditional ones like Grandma, Nana, Granny, Nana, and Mimi would fit me. I was a young 46-year-old grandmother. I finally settled on Ani, which is pronounced A-H-K-N-E-E, Ani. It seemed original, and truthfully, I was so excited about being a grandmother. I just wanted her to love me and love having me sing "You Are My Sunshine" while rocking her. As Lindsay grew, and then 18 months later when her brother Seth came along, I thought my heart would explode. Sandy looked at me one day and announced, "I don't remember you loving us this much." I smiled and said, I didn't. Truth is, being an Ani was so private and personal for me. The kind of love I felt for Lindsay, Seth, and then Adam, Samuel, also known as Buster, and Abby stands alone in a compartment of my heart where it will remain until I take it to heaven with me. When Lindsay and Tom were having my first great-grandchild a couple of years ago, once again, I was crazy in love with this tiny creature I had not met. I was already practicing my signature song and visualizing the rocking chair. But as fate would have it, baby Stella Marie came to Earth way too soon and only lived 3 days. Hearts were so broken. I opened a brand new compartment deep in my heart where she will be until we meet. Meanwhile, I have a Stella tree growing tall in my yard. As my life sails along, I become more aware of how I express my love to people in general. I have another compartment for family members and still others for acquaintances and close friends. I love to love. It's that simple. Bring me a child or an animal that I can squeeze and spoil, and I am a happy camper. Making new friends always excites me. Going to church and singing a favorite hymn prompts happy tears and deep gratitude for music in my life. Another major love. Excuse me. It's been said that when it's time for us to pass away, we will not regret things we have done as much as those that we didn't do. If this is true, I won't regret all those compartments filled with all that love that I experienced on Earth. And just to clear up a little something with my three daughters, Sandy, Susan, and Sherry, I did indeed love you as much.
The Birds and the Bees and You and Me by Mary Brotherton. For as long as I can remember, I wanted my own butterfly garden, thinking the little winged creatures must be akin to fairies, endowing the world with beauty and magic. As time passed and I learned more, I realized that before we can have a butterfly, we must have a caterpillar. And I've never been especially fond of those squirmy, hungry, plant-eating insects. More time passed, and I've discovered how much our world relies on butterflies for pollination. But not just on these pretty little flyers. We need honeybees, carpenter bees, bumblebees, and many other species to keep our plants growing and healthy. But not just butterflies and bees. We rely on more than 200,000 different creatures who help pollinate the plants on our amazing planet. Hummingbirds and other birds, bats and other small mammals and flies, beetles, butterflies, moths, and bees all play their part in the ecosystem, whether they know it or not. We too play an important role in the ecosystem of living in harmony with each other. Each one of us has a part to play. We may be teaching while learning or learning while teaching, but if we work together for the betterment of everyone, we all stand a chance of evolving to our next level of enlightenment. Most of us have felt like the caterpillar, struggling to get from the ground so we can soar through the air. But those caterpillars must struggle, for it's in the struggle that the butterfly's wings develop and become strong enough to propel it from the earth into the sky. Some of us have been misunderstood, like the bat or the moth that flies only at night. But being misunderstood is no reason to veer from your path. You may believe you walk your path alone, but others are here to help you. Just ask.
Now, this issue is filled with positivity. Through the pandemic, and it's our biggest issue so far. We had so many wonderful stories to share with you that we needed to add 16 pages. You will find more at beunique.org on our extra blog.
This is Zach Attack reading my article for Be Unique magazine titled My Career as a Professional Whale Watcher. The sun reflects brightly off the ocean. Squinting through my binoculars, I see splashes in the distance. I focus on a spot in the water. Is it another tuna blitz? A small dorsal fin breaks the surface. With the sunlight and distance, I can't get an exact species ID, but it is undoubtedly a dolphin. I watch more fins break the surface. They're swimming away from the sun's glare and towards my vessel. As they approach, I snap some photos with my 600mm lens so I can view the animals up close and document their behaviors. As I focus the lens onto the dolphins, their features become clear. Their elongated rostrum, falcate dorsal fin, the black and white spots along their topside tell me it's Stenella frontalis, commonly known as the Atlantic spotted dolphin. This species is a common sight in this area of the world. Viewing these animals, documenting them, and recommending procedures to the ship's crew on behalf of these animals for their safety is the basis of my career as a protected species observer, a PSO. The purpose of my job is to limit the exposure of marine mammals and sea turtles to the low-frequency sound sources the vessel's various kinds of sonar emit to scan the seafloor. The vessels I work on scan the seafloor for various reasons depending on the contract. Typically, the vessels I work on are mapping the seafloor for building projects. However, these projects can't happen if it accidentally harms the local wildlife, which is where my PSO team comes in. We keep a watchful eye over the water until spotting something. If we see a protected species, we work with the vessel captain to take the best action to protect that animal's well-being. If a turtle pops up too close to the ship, we shut down the sonar. If we spot an injured or dead seal floating by, we call it in to be collected. There are ups and downs to what I do. There's a considerable amount of paperwork. I'm away from home for extended periods of time, but this allows me to write and plan for my educational outreach programs. The internet isn't very good, so I'm not aware of the world outside of the ship, but it's nice to unplug for a bit. Due to the current pandemic, we aren't allowed to leave the ship when we're in port, but I also don't have to cook or clean. These are the trade-offs I make for my career. Off in the distance, a whale and her calf surface in the vessel's path. I radioed the captain so we could make course adjustments to avoid hitting them. This moment, this makes it all worth it. In the most simplistic description, I get paid to watch wild animals. Best job ever, right?
Now that's being unique. The board of directors at Be Unique would like to thank all our contributors, advertisers, sponsors, donors, and grantors, and especially you, our listener, for your support.
Asktivism 101, written and recorded by Michelle Schaefer for BeUnique.org. So there I was, bebopping around Fresh Time in Lafayette, Indiana, filling my cart with Daya pizzas, Dandy's marshmallows, and some fresh vegetables to throw out later, when I saw it at the checkout stand. Veg News Magazine. If you're based in a progressive city, you might not appreciate how thrilling a moment this was. But for me, seeing Veg News on the magazine stand was a symbol of personal triumph. For years, Fresh Time carried a vegan magazine on and off, but it was UK-based, rendering it all but useless to US patrons. And for years, I asked them to carry Veg News instead. I wrote down my request on numerous scraps of paper and spoke with countless managers until one day, there it was in all its glory. Huzzah! For vegan advocates, it's easy to feel weary from having to ask so many questions every time we shop or sit down to grab a bite to eat. But I'm here to tell you to not only continue to ask your usual questions, but to ask more, more, more. Asktivism is a movement based on the concept of repeatedly putting in requests for vegan options at grocery stores, restaurants, and shops until vegan world domination happens. It was started by a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who, okay, fine, it was me, and I haven't won the Pulitzer yet, but I can say with confidence that Asktivism works. Asktivism can help save the world. Anyone can be an Asktivist anywhere at any time. It's exactly what you think it is. It's asking for more compassionate options everywhere you go. Fill out product requests at the grocery store. Speak with restaurant managers about veganizing the green beans. Sign petitions asking major department stores and designers to go fur-free, and do so repeatedly. In fact, post an Asktivist of the Week event on your local veg-friendly Facebook group, choose a place, your local Starbucks, for example, and agree to drive through at least once that week and ask if they have coconut whip yet. Also, be sure to say thank you for having vegan options or write it on the receipt when applicable. Next week, choose a new place and request. Eventually, corporate will get word and you, my friend, will be a hero. Try calibrating your Asktivism settings to full blast about 85% of the time and watch yourself make the world a better place for animals, humans, and our beautiful Earth. Asktivism may seem like a chore at first, but once you realize it's the simplest way to be an Asktivist, that is, activist, your soul will soar knowing that lives may be saved just because you asked a question or two. Seeing Veg News that day wasn't just a personal triumph. It felt like a social justice triumph, too. I'm glad I persisted in asking for the best vegan magazine in the world, and I suspect the animals are glad, too. Wouldn't you agree? This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
Just be unique.
The Amazing Synchronicity of Moxiebox Art by Jim Warner. I found myself in a familiar place I love, the beginning of a new business venture. I could work endless hours with the energy generated at the very beginning of a new business. Every entrepreneur knows this place and wants this feeling to last forever. Synchronicity is not a business strategy or something I could go take a seminar for. I had to do things differently this time to break through the barriers of past failures. But what to do? Amanda, my Moxiebox art business partner skill sets meshed perfectly with mine, but I still knew where this would end up without synchronicity. Then someone called about a school where we already sold our art boxes. She asked if I would like to display and sell our art boxes at a school event, free of charge. And we had our most profitable day. All I could think of after the event was, why is she doing this? I swung around in my office chair at that moment, which is something I rarely do. A book on my shelf, The Salesman and the Farmer, seemed to be glowing. I had read it years ago, and it did nothing for me. But I knew right then I'd experience synchronicity. I started reading, and I couldn't stop taking notes and highlighting sections. Once I finished the book, I hurried to Amanda's home. I told her and her husband they had to read this book. As I was blurting things out, my energy was infectious, and they were so excited. Each week, we decided to discuss the book's information, implementing what we now termed as farmers' stories that popped up constantly. I had found a way to connect to keep synchronicity happening in my life. We were flying high with the growth of our startup when Amanda informed me we had an accounting issue, growing pains of a successful business. She tried to handle it with help from her sister, but it had become a major thorn and consumed much of her time. We knew synchronicity would come to the rescue and put those thoughts out to the universe. The next weekend, Charlie, a past business partner and a friend, called. We had not spoken in at least 10 years. We caught up on what had been happening in our lives. I mentioned MoxieBox Art when he asked what new business I was working on. He asked to meet for breakfast. When I told Amanda I was meeting with Charlie for breakfast and he was going to take care of accounting and all our corporate stuff for us, she replied, "Is he an accountant?" I said, nope. But I know this is going to happen, and I gave her the specific terms I was bringing to Charlie. I showed Charlie our Moxie boxes after breakfast, and when he asked, "How can I be part of this?" I told him about farmers and synchronicity, and he agreed to the exact terms I gave him. You can read more at Be Unique's extra blog for examples of more farmer stories since this amazing phenomenon.
Yes. Amazing. We are entering our third year and already reaching almost 500,000 people. Wow. Why is that? Because Be Unique volunteers believe charity has the power to change the world. Hey, this is a Be Unique thing. What if this is what we asked for?
What if this is what we asked for? With different parts of the country starting the various phases of opening back up since the COVID came into our lives, we all probably have several different kinds of mixed emotions. No matter what each circumstance was, everyone has thoughts on what has happened. A couple of months ago, I experienced this stream of consciousness that I had to jot down on paper as it just flowed, and I wanted to share it with you. What if, just what if this is what we asked for? While I may not be of popular opinion, I still feel like I should share. I'm not saying that someone laid down to pray and said, "Dear God, please bring a virus that doesn't have a cure yet, come to the world and infect a lot of people, causing lots of people's loved ones to die." What I'm saying is that remember those requests for more time with my kids, less time working, more opportunity to take time for myself, cutting down on texting and driving, bringing the family unit back intact, people not practicing good hygiene. There are tons of documentaries on Netflix about farm-to-table food, current education institution not performing or handling today's needs, parents not talking to their kids, homeless population, pollution, global warming, large numbers of people not eating. So you see, with all these examples, how does this change your perspective? If you remove judgment and broaden your mind, just open up. Think about it. What have we seen from this pandemic? We've seen family bonding, strengthening of the existing family unit, a closer connection to God, homemade meals, families eating together, education system changing, the waters becoming clear, the pollution over China improving, proper hand washing, less driving, world peace with countries all coming together, the community outpour of love, help, and support to those who are less fortunate in the area, people having time off from work, parents becoming closer to the kids through homeschooling, and a more appreciation for everyday heroes. So, now, what do you think about all this? Need a little space to ponder it? No problem. Go ahead, take some time. Take it all in. Even if you don't agree 100%, don't you think there's some real truth in those examples? What do Dragon Ball Z and a vandalized rock have in common? By Anna East and Mary Brotherton. If you think the animated series Dragon Ball Z has nothing in common with a vandalized rock in North Carolina, keep reading. Caden Hunt is a 2020 high school graduate whose Instagram handle is Goku's Mom, and Goku is one of the main characters in Dragon Ball Z. I feel like I'm his mom, Caden said when talking on Here I Am, but animation wasn't the focus of the conversation. Caden, who said, "Everyone is an artist in their own way," put some of her artistic talent to work after asking on Instagram, "Who wants to paint the rock?" Her classmates knew which rock she wanted to paint. The Spirit Rock has been encouraging her school's sports teams for years, but Caden didn't want to paint Go Knights. The United States has been shut down due to COVID-19, and students were growing restless. This restlessness intensified after the death of George Floyd, and Caden felt she needed to do something. "I have creative times when I feel passionate or when something traumatic or something really big happens in my life," Caden said. "I want to focus it into something positive." 6 people responded to her post on Instagram. "It took all day in the steaming hot sun," she said. "It was so beautiful and it came out so nice. Art reminds people and informs them. The rock is on a main road, so people driving by can see it. Unfortunately, vandals saw it and destroyed the work Caden and her friends had done." "I didn't believe it," Caden said. "I thought it was photoshopped. My parents came with me to look at it. When I saw it, I broke down." Caden decided to paint the rock again. The first rock had statements and names of the victims, Caden said. "Vandals crossed out the victims' names and crossed out Black Lives Matter and all my positive statements. I was crying in the video I posted. I was super vulnerable." Caden said that she thought only 10 people would help her repaint, but more than 300 came out and made repainting the rock an event. She said, "We put more names and I wanted to be sure everybody was involved. We wrote, 'Hate will never win.' It came out better the second time. The way the sun hits the little gold accents makes it so nice to see." While the rock is an indication of the change we need in the world, Caden admitted it's difficult to find direction in life at times. Caden asked, "What can I do to express how I feel being a young Black woman in America?" Before she said, 2 things. "It's not my job to educate people, and I can always do my best, and when you do your best, you can't have any regrets." The Rock is a creative way to continue to bring people together. Be sure to listen to Here I Am 11 to discover how this honor student leads by following and why she created and led a social justice class for 2 years. We'll be right back. So, now, what do you think about all this? Need a little space to ponder it? No problem. Go ahead, take some time. Take it all in.
There's much more to BeUnique.org than our audio magazine. The printed copies are like works of art. The digital magazine is your interactive magazine. Just click image and start learning. You'll be amazed and entertained.
Why Digital Art is Important to Me by Alma De La Fuente. When I was 7 years old, I was a victim of severe bullying, and no teachers were there to defend me. I had to learn in the hardest way to defend myself, to be able to survive that situation. On the other hand, I lived in such a happy place, in my house and my family. My father was the one who always spoiled me and buy me everything I wanted. My mother is a strong woman I admire with my heart. Since the day I was born, she raised me with a smile on her face, taught me new things, showed me how to be strong just like her. My brother, Raphael, is the treasure of my life. He is the man who always had and still gets my back. He's my example to follow, my favorite person in the whole world. I would never change him for anyone else. He never stopped repeating how proud he was and still is of me. That pushed me up to confront all the bullying at my school without being afraid. I came to the USA when I was only 17 years old, but I was afraid of not being able to communicate with others in English. I've always been an extrovert. I used to love to create friendships whenever I'd go. But after I moved to the USA, I found a completely different experience. Little by little, through the years, I started to speak more fluently. After many years here, I dreamed of my grandmother in heaven. Her name was Alma as well. She whispered in my ear, "Make from art something special, that touch of magic that the world needs." I woke up next morning and created my first art in Paint, the old program that computers used to have. I sent it to my mom, and 2 days later, I went to my mom's house and I saw it printed on the counter. I asked her, "Mom, why is this here?" And she answered, "Because I love it, and it's one of the most beautiful things you have made." I just hugged her. Almost 2 years have passed, and look at me now, wanting to make the world see that difference is equal. Beauty and acceptance is equal love. Here I am, wanting to put bullying away from all those children suffering what I suffered once in my life. Let every critic or judge or hit or envy be part of your journey by creating a stair to your success. Join me in sharing your positivity throughout art in Be Unique's Be Creative Challenge. You can find all the details on the website.
The board of directors at Be Unique would like to thank all our contributors, advertisers, sponsors, donors, and grantors, and especially you, our listener, for your support.
Sustaining yourself by sustaining someone else, by Yvonne Mason. Sustaining. We throw that word around like a ball in the air. The politicians bloviate about sustaining the economy. Companies toss it about when they talk about their bottom line. We use it when we want to win an argument. But let's just take a moment and break down this word. Webster defines the word as to give support or relief to nourish, keep up, or prolong, to support the weight of, to buoy up, to bear up under, to support, to confirm. Somewhere along the line, we've diluted this powerful word. In order for our world to maintain sustainability, we must get back to the root word. We must start with ourselves. Here is how we do it. We nourish our minds by keeping them open to knowledge, which then becomes wisdom that we impart to others. We learn to listen before we speak. We buoy up others who are not as strong as we are. We confirm our own worth and self-confidence so that we can help someone else. We believe in the humanity of others. We raise them up before we raise ourselves up. We learn to bear up under trials, disappointments, and falling down, then getting back up, dusting ourselves off, and keeping on with the journey so that we can be an example to someone else. We confirm to ourselves that even on our worst day, we are able to give relief, to support, to buoy up, and to encourage someone else. We put ourselves out there without regret or fear. We lead by example, not just words. There's an old adage, he can talk the talk, but he can't walk the walk. Let's not be that person.
Are you ready to walk the walk and talk the talk?
We talk the talk and we walk the walk. Let's be the person that bears up under all things. Failure is not how many times we fall down. It is how many times we refuse to get back up and continue the journey. Help sustain others by holding out that hand for two reasons. To help someone else and to be helped back up yourself. Success is not a solitary journey. It is sustained by those who take the journey with us. It is sustained by those we help succeed along the way. That is the key. That is the only way any of us succeed in anything we do. It is the only way our world will stay productive and move forward. Relearn the correct definition of the word sustain. Own the word. Make it part of who you are. Understand the word and put it to use in your daily lives. Remember, we become the change we want to see in others.
This is Angela reading for Be Unique magazine. How Will You Remember the Year 2020? By Marquetta Davis Lennon. What will we remember about the year 2020? Will you remember a global pandemic? Maybe you'll remember doctors and nurses becoming heroes or how the world seemed to shut down for 3 months. How about the Black Lives Matter movement and the fight for equality? Will you remember classes and graduation becoming virtual? The world seemed to change in the blink of an eye. Our normal became wearing face masks and social distancing. How will we tell future generations about our world changing? Peyton Manker came up with a creative way to tell the story of COVID-19 to future generations. I decided to design my dress when I heard about the Spuck at Prom scholarship contest held by the Duck brand. Contestants are asked to make prom attire out of duct tape, and the grand prize winner receives a $10,000 scholarship. The winner is decided by popular vote around the world. The detail in every piece of this dress is a journal of the pandemic, and it captures the emotions behind it. When asked how long the dress took to make, Peyton said it took around 400 hours to make over the course of 4 months. Peyton was already working on the dress in January and decided in March to design the images that were seared in our memory already. Her goal was simple. Document everything that was going on, show every aspect of the pandemic. Every part of her dress represents an event from the pandemic, from her bracelets to her bag that was designed to look like a molecule of the virus. She has had offers from museums to donate her dress, one of which was a Smithsonian. I'm leaning more towards donating it to them for the coronavirus exhibit, Peyton said. When asked what message she has for the public, she said, I believe the public needs to remember that though it doesn't seem like it right now, the pandemic will eventually pass and we will all be okay. It's not surprising that Peyton won the Stuck at Prom grand prize for her dress. So we're sure the months, hours, and 41 rolls of duct tape will just be one of the many things she remembers about the year 2020. Congratulations, Peyton. Again, this is Angela reading for Be Unique magazine. Thank you for listening.
This is Tori McCagg reading for Be Unique magazine. We can steward nature, not control her. This morning, as I opened the door of the chicken coop and stepped in, I walked through a spider's web. A spider's web is rather sticky to walk through. Have you ever done so? Poor spider, all that work for naught. That too is familiar, working hard to create, and then the computer shuts down of its own accord and without saving the document. The potato plants are decimated by potato bugs, and their robust seedlings, planted the day before, have been chomped to oblivion by a marauding raccoon and possum. Both, at the same time, we have them on our night cam video. That is Mother Nature. We haven't noticed her in these past decades or centuries. Instead, we humans have merely focused our mighty brains on creating our own world, one that seeks to bend her rules. In 2012, my husband Carl and I moved to New Hampshire for a winter to live off-grid with our 6 chickens, 2 cats, and big imaginations. That's the story in my memoir, At Crossroads with Chickens. We thought we would live in harmony with Mother Nature, woven elegantly into her fabric like the perfect silk strand in a spider's web. We would reduce our carbon footprint, grow our own food, use less fossil fuels. Everything would be a part of a whole, each aspect fitting into the others, a microcosm of that delicate and precious balance, life. But the potato bugs, the possums and raccoons, chickmunks and cedar waxwings eating our organically grown strawberries, our roosters doing what cocks do to hens, feathers everywhere, the hens frazzled and exhausted by all the amorousness. And then on blowy days, Carl and I could be found chasing a variety of objects across the field. A portable hot tub that had been waiting to be repurposed, styrofoam insulated panels, 2 chicken runs, a brand new pair of prescription eyeglasses, hay bales. How human of us to think we could defy nature's rules. As did everyone around us, we used nature as if she were expendable. We still had our house in Providence, Rhode Island, to which we drove and back again in our gas-powered Prius. Bought what we wanted, not what we needed. In short, off-grid life enlarged our carbon footprint, and all we had hoped to do was steward and heal. Now another blow from Mother Nature, the ongoing coronavirus, COVID-19. This invisible to naked eye bug that just keeps growing makes it clear that nature is tough. She has rules. One slight misstep and it is natural selection time. None of the convenience of modernity can spare humans from the winds of natural selection, the consequences of our choices, or the forces of life. Which is why my husband and I named our New Hampshire home Darwin's View. As humans, what to think? Maybe let's heed this reminder that ultimately Mother Nature writes the rules and that humans, in relation to nature, have little control, no power, nothing as the wind howls and the breezes whisper through the purple mountains from sea to shining sea. And so we must be mindful to steward, not dominate or possess, our land, our natural environment, our planet. Consider our actions and their consequences. Every action we take has consequences and externalities, including those that may seem minor but are impactful. Think about them before making choices. Wear a mask, drive a hybrid vehicle, get solar panels even if they use a lead-acid battery system built with not a few unsustainable and rare commodities. Replace a water-lusting lawn with utilitarian vegetable-growing raised garden beds, or not, but if you can't do no harm, do less harm. Keep learning and share what we learn. Maybe you installed a freshwater pond lap pool like Carl and I did in 2017. Maybe it fit in with your sustainable, holistic ethos until it started springing leaks, year after year, that led to its emptying and refilling, 20,000 gallons of crystalline, cool water delivered each time as repairs were made. The loss of precious water, limited water, to air as human. Ask what you can learn, what you can change, and how can you help others learn to do better? Write a book? Remember, everything is intertwined. The spider's web in my chicken's coop was like a sign. We are all a piece of this web of life. Depending on how one thing moves, so does another. So simple, yet overwhelming. Because if we are all connected in ways we cannot see, but are minutely and directly affected by it, then it matters how we move and what we do. Keep one silk strand of the web here, and another one over there moves or tears. Don't give up. It's not an option. We can't afford to stop caring now, to afford to ignore the virus or its wake-up call, to exist for ourselves individually alone, to shrudge off this and other calls from Mother Nature for our cooperation, our full attention. I have learned and have no doubt that we can save our planet. We have only to let go of our old attitudes and allow for massive change. Steward, not possess or dominate. Heal. For Be Unique Magazine, this is Tori McHagg.
Now that's being unique.
Hello, this is Kathleen Price of the Little Green Oasis. My BFFs. Butterflies are a deep and powerful representation of life. Many cultures around the world associate the butterfly with our souls. The Christian religion sees the butterfly as a symbol of resurrection and transformation. Around the world, symbolization is the same, and many view the butterfly as a representation of the gift of life, hope, and change. And with that being said, there are also many predators out to destroy the populations of butterflies. Our beautiful flying flowers are being eaten by many common predators, including wasps, ants, spiders, birds, frogs, dragonflies, snakes, lizards, and even some wild monkeys. Most butterflies have a host plant where they come to feed, lay eggs, and grow into beautiful butterflies. If a predator does not get them first, this is how I started saving my BFFs, beautiful flying flowers. I have planted host plants all around at the Little Green Oasis and put in a butterfly garden filled with host plants and nectars for the different types of butterflies. Not all of our BFFs will enjoy the same host plant. I have planted milkweed for the monarchs, purple passion vine for gulf fritillaries, and the zebra longwings. The eastern black swallowtails, they love parsley, so they have lots of that along with rue and dill. And the orange sulfurs, they prefer a nectar flower of sorts. The lifespan for butterflies varies and is very short. No adult butterfly lives longer than 1 year, and most butterflies cannot live in temperatures below 40 degrees. I capture the butterflies at the egg stage or at caterpillar stage. I then house them in a butterfly house with their host plant and protect them so they may grow into another BFF, beautiful flying flower. And then I set them free and let their cycle start again. As of today, I have released 286 butterflies back into the wild. Be free, my beautiful flying flowers.
Now that's being unique. All right. Thank you for listening to Be Unique Magazine Audio Issue 17. Be sure to contact us through the website to let us know what you think about this issue. For Be Unique Magazine, I'm your host, Franklin, saying happiness comes in making others happy. The world does not need to change. You do. Now that's being unique. Don't let your dreams come true. Make them. Let yourself be the path to another's happiness. The door is always open after you have put down your bags. Time is an ever-present reality that knows no past or future. When you are giving to others, you are giving to yourself.
One, two, three, mic check. Wait a minute. He still has three more. Okay, here we go. Everybody knows you all unique. Everybody shows that you are unique.
Sagira, what are you doing?
I just want to end the show for you and everyone else.
But everyone already shared their story.
Yeah, but you still have three more stories.
What do you mean three more?
Excuse me. We are just being unique.
Garbage Couture by Marcetta Davis Linton for Be Unique magazine. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, in 2017, about 94.17 million tons of garbage was recycled in the United States. When people think of garbage, they think of landfills and the recycling bins. There is one woman who is making garbage a high-end fashion statement. Her name is Elizabeth Tran, a pageant contestant in the 2018 Miss Miami pageant. She made headlines in the Miami Herald for her dress and her platform on changes in the environment. She made a dress out of a black garbage bag and it worked.
You go, girl.
After winning Miss Miami, she took on Miss Florida with the same eco-friendly fight, and she won. While she didn't wear an eco-friendly gown, she stood her ground and promoted her organization, Teens Go Green, an organization she started when she was 12 years old. Her organization has the simple goal to make the world a better place for all to live. The organization has four R's: reduce, reuse, recycle, and respect. Elizabeth wants one thing. She wants others to help her protect our precious planet. She started to make dresses at the tender age of 13 for fun and to wear around the house. She started simple with newspaper hats, then built to dresses. She never imagined being in a pageant with one of her creations. The message she wants to send is that excessive waste production is an ongoing problem in our world that we don't recognize. For most of us, garbage is out of sight, out of mind. We can do something to reduce the amount of waste we collect regularly by following the hierarchy of reduce, then reuse, and then recycle. Elizabeth calls all teenagers to start going green on their own. They can do this in simple ways by using reusable shopping bags, reducing energy consumption, and finally reducing waste creatively. Elizabeth encourages people of all ages to do the same thing by quoting John Denver, who said, "One person can do it alone, but if we each follow our own hearts and inclinations, it's a little things that create a healthy future for a sustainable environment." The EPA reports the age group that recycles the most is the older generation of 55 and older. Through Elizabeth's powerful message, maybe we can change how we view our world and take better care of it. If everyone recycles and reuses them in a new way, we can get rid of the landfill. We can live healthy, clean life that everyone desires. Learn more about Elizabeth's nonprofit organization at teensgogreenglobal.org. This is Marcetta Davis Linton.
We are just being unique.
What the Florida Caverns Taught Me by Tony Taylor.
In March, my family had a chance to visit the Florida Caverns State Park in Marietta, Florida. My daughter attends Florida State University. Before the whole COVID-19 crisis, my wife and I were up in North Florida visiting for the weekend. Now, maybe this happens to you, but as I get older, the universe sometimes uses nature as a most excellent teacher. The universe fashions nature in a way that provides that second sight. It reveals unknown knowledge through persons like Isaac Newton sitting under an apple tree. Whenever I experience an epiphany, when realization miraculously joins with reality, this is a moment providing us a glimpse of our spiritual selves. Pay attention. Embrace that blessing. It doesn't happen often. After my experience with the caverns, I got a peek at something. Before leaving, I double-checked the park hours. October's Hurricane Michael had devastated Marietta, Florida, and the surrounding areas. Obviously, all the state parks were closed in that area. The Florida Caverns Park was open, and we left Tallahassee. Driving into Marietta, the damage from Hurricane Michael was still apparent. Debris from destroyed houses was piled next to the sides of the road and fallen trees behind them. Pulling up to the entrance of the park, I paid my $5 per carload fee. After parking, we followed the boardwalk, which led straight to the gift shop, where you pay for the guided tour provided by the park rangers. On the surface, the outside reveals no clue as to what is below the surface. Nature's lessons are personal epiphanies, and by that I mean everyone experiences different spiritual awakenings. Nature is a great teacher, and I knew the message I needed to hear. Maybe this is no great revelation to you. If so, you already know. Epiphanies belong to the individual they happen with. Epiphanies are an insight, intuitive moments only that a person can experience. Even the word insight reinforces its meaning and its spelling. The word insight literally is spelled insight, and only known to the one receiving that sight on the inside. My epiphany is not for you because nature wasn't revealing that information to you, but you will have your own, and if you're honest with yourself, you will listen.
Anticipation is part of my happiness formula. The weather report can give me such an anticipatory feeling. Not long ago, we were on the edge of a big storm. I had been feeling this one coming in my bones for a while. One thing I learned after 35 years in the Florida sunshine is that the weather forecasting folks try really hard, but don't really have any better idea than I do about what these storms are going to do once they get here. While I sleep, the storm could shift just far enough one way or the other to change my life, a little or a lot. Not knowing can really stress a person, or not knowing can pique some anticipation. Anticipation has been part of my happiness formula, something to look forward to. Why get up from sleep with nothing to look forward to? Fun has always been my salvation, but once even ideas for that ran out. I had reached a point that I literally couldn't figure out anything else to do in life. I had completed what I'd set out to do. I'd actually moved into one room of my house to make it easier to sit and do nothing, uninspired. Well, thanks to a dear friend who awakened me to my forgotten love of rocks. She told me she was sure there were unturned stones out there for me, and she was right. Then I thought about how much fun it was to play with rocks, skipping them on the water, building forts behind them, collecting them, crawling on them, even throwing them. Like the time I picked up some rocks and threw them at the kids down the road. I had seen my older cousin do it. Somehow I hit a kid way down there. He grabbed the rock and threw it back and beamed me hard right in the side of the head. I ran inside crying to my grandma. I blubbered bigger after she asked who had done this to her little genie. She ran out the back door and straight to the road,
When I ran up, she was grabbing a handful of rocks and started pelting the other kids. She reloaded and fired again while they ran. That's all I remember for sure, but I suspect then we went inside for an ice cube and some cookies and milk or whatever I wanted. Rocks are not really random. They're infinite in variety. Really. Just like the adventures to be had everywhere. I sure have had some Florida adventures, and I'm not sure when I'll get to the West Coast. But I'm having fun between now and then. Once I started looking around, I noticed lots of stones that needed turning real bad or real good. Once I started picking them up, the fun started happening again. I started thinking of things I could hardly wait to do. The ideas came faster than I can keep up. It's fun trying, rain or shine. For Be Unique Magazine, this is Gene Albertson. Thanks for listening.
Adios, sayonara, assalamu, wadu, and goodbye. And remember, always be unique.
Be Unique Crews, volunteering every day, connecting the dots, and paving the way for a positive outcome. This is the Be Unique Way. Thank you.